Today our scripture is found in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers. We'll be looking at the stories in this book through the fall, and today I just want to introduce the series to you and get us started in this chapter of Numbers 9. I'll read the whole chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, and then I'll skip to verse 15. And then I'll also read chapter 10, verse 11 to 13. So first, verse 1 in the book of Numbers, the fourth book in the Bible, chapter 9. The Lord spoke to Moses in the desert of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they came out of Egypt. He said, "Have the Israelites celebrate the Passover at the appointed time. Celebrate it at the appointed time at twilight on the 14th day of this month in accordance with all its rules and regulations." So Moses told the Israelites to celebrate the Passover, and they did so in the desert of Sinai at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. The Israelites did everything just as the Lord commanded Moses. Then verse 15. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at His command they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp. And then at His command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening to morning. And when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped. At the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with His command through Moses. And then verse 11 in chapter 10, on the 20th day of the second month of the second year, the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle of the testimony. And then the Israelites set out from the desert of Sinai and traveled from place to place until the cloud came to rest in the desert of Paran. They set out this first time at the Lord's command through Moses. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You, Lord, for this, Your word, and as we celebrate Your action among us, as we remember what You did among Your people of Israel, so may we remember what You are doing here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Numbers. I'm trusting that probably a few of you have read this book. The book of Numbers, the fourth book in the Bible, it's the fourth of the first five books, which are called the Pentateuch or the Torah, kind of a one set piece in the Bible. Numbers is the fourth book, and it's the book where read through the Bible resolutions come to die. You've done this, I know this. This usually happens at the beginning of the year. You say, this is the year. This is the year I'm going to read through the Bible. I haven't done that yet. I haven't gotten through every part of the Bible. So this is the year. I'm going to do it. This is it. It's time. And so you set out in January. And it's okay at first. It's pretty easy. Genesis is not a bad read. It's pretty interesting, really. A lot of stories, a lot of change. It's something you can get into. So Genesis is fine. You get through that pretty well. Exodus, good story. They make movies out of Exodus. You know, the people of Israel are in slavery, and then God, through His power, through those 10 plagues, He breaks the people free. It's great. It really is a good read. The second half gets a little slow. The second half, actually, if you remember, the second half is what we spent last fall going through, looking at the instructions God gave for setting up the tabernacle. get there, it gets a little heavy, a little dry. But you know, the first half is so good, you just plow through that, and you figure, well, you know, it'll pick up again. And then you get to Leviticus. Leviticus is, shall we say, a bit repetitive. A lot of sacrifices, a lot of offerings, a lot of killing of animals. It gets really kind of heavy, and it's real hard to get your head around. And so no doubt you bog down in Leviticus, but then you mention it to somebody, and a friend says, oh, you know what, you can just skip that book. Just skip it. Don't let that stop you. Go to the next one. So you say, okay, I'm just going to skip this one. And I'll come back maybe some other day. And you go to Numbers. You say, Numbers, it's going to start again. It's going to be good again. And you start, and it's Numbers. It's actually Numbers. The first eight chapters of this book is a census. How many thousands of people in this tribe, and this family of this tribe, and what they did, and where what their names were. And that's where you usually give up. You don't go back to the friend, because now you're embarrassed. And you figure, well, I just guess I'm not spiritual enough. And you give up. Numbers is the book where read through the Bible resolutions come to die. That's usually where they do. It's a shame, though, because if you persevere through those first eight chapters, and notice we're starting in chapter 9, it really gets good. The word number, the name Numbers, is attached to this book because that's what it was called in the Greek translation of the Bible that actually in Jesus' day they used. A lot of people couldn't read Hebrew anymore, so they read the Greek translation, and it was called Numbers. It was actually it's arithmoi, the word we get arithmetic from. Now there's a marketing strategy, a book of arithmetic. The Jewish name for this book is different, though. The Jewish name for this book, it comes from the first verse, is In the Wilderness. Much, much better title for this book. It says that God spoke to Moses in the wilderness. That's where they get the title. In the Jewish Bible, that's what they call it. When you get to chapter 9 and all the chapters that follow that, I'm not going to tell you there's not some tough going. But there's all these stories about Israel's journey in the wilderness. And not only are they interesting, they're also kind of disturbing. And if you read them, and as we read them together, they're kind of revealing about us too. So we're going to be going in the wilderness with the people of Israel. You heard in what I read, in the area that I read, that they're at Sinai, and that's where they got the Ten Commandments. That's where Exodus ends. And Leviticus is given to them while they're there. It's all the instructions on what to do in that tabernacle that they've got the plans for in the book of Exodus. And Numbers, they're ready to leave. They set up the tabernacle, and they're ready to go. And the book of Numbers covers that story on what it was like walking from Sinai up to the promised land. That's what we see. And actually, Numbers gets a bad rap, though, because Numbers aren't really all that foreign to us. I mean, the beginning, the first eight chapters are all census, and we don't like them because they don't really mean anything to us. In the days this was written, they loved this sort of thing. Even today, in Jewish culture, genealogy is a whole lot more interesting than it is to a lot of us. And that's why we see so much of it in the Bible. Because this was interesting and important. And it certainly does make a point, but I'm not going to belabor that and drag you through those chapters. I just might have a rebellion. That's why I'm skipping the chapter 9. But think about how much we love numbers everywhere else. I mean, think about people who are into baseball. Baseball, most of the joy is numbers. Right? Think about people who work with taxes and accounting. Numbers, numbers. We have numbers. We in businesses, we do a lot with numbers. Numbers aren't quite so foreign as we often think they are, as we often feel that they are when we get to these numbers. But in this Bible, in this book, we get much more than just numbers. We see the life of the people of Israel with God. And by looking at that, we see our life with the same God, our God. Someone once said that after a wedding, there is a marriage. It's a true enough statement, right? Weddings can be a great deal of fun. Weddings are celebrations. Weddings are all hope. The marriage is what follows that wedding. And marriage is good. Marriage is a lot of fun. But it's also hard, and it's really tough. And back on the first of this month, Fred and Hetty Hauser celebrate their 61st wedding anniversary. 61 years. If I brought them up here, I'm sure they could tell us a lot of really good things. And I bet you they could also tell us a lot of really tough things that they've gone through. Now think about my marriage. Dee and I have been married for 20 years. We've had a lot of really good moments, and we've had some really bad moments, some tough moments. But we see in this book of Numbers, we're looking at a marriage after a wedding. What happens down in Sinai, and this is recorded for us in Exodus, and when they come to that mountain on the Sinai Peninsula, and they receive the Ten Commandments, and they enter into this covenant with God, it's like a wedding. In fact, a lot of writers, a lot of thinkers feel like that's what it is. And there's a lot of wedding and marriage imagery in the Bible. It even goes into the New Testament where the church, we're described as the bride of Christ. On Sinai, the people of Israel and God get married. There is an exchange of vows, a covenant. There's promises made. There's even a little house built, a home, where God will meet His people. In the tabernacle. What happens in the book of Numbers as they leave after the wedding ceremony is the marriage. And just like many of ours, there's a lot of tough spots along this way. It starts off well. What I read was pretty repetitive. How when the cloud lifted, they set out. If it didn't lift, they didn't set out. And it says that 25 different ways. Could summarize all that and say, well, when God said jump, Israel said, how high, Lord? Well, that's about the last time that's going to happen. And what we're going to see as we go through the stories that lie ahead in this book is that it's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. But it's also really real. We're going to marvel over how a people that have been delivered out of slavery and given this incredible relationship with God. And don't you think if you saw God with your own eyes, that would have an effect on your faith? That would have an effect in your obedience? No, it doesn't. They saw God. He was in a cloud that was there all the time, and they watched it lift and move, and they followed it, and it stopped. And they saw God every day, and it didn't help them a bit to be more faithful. Perhaps the biggest lie we tell ourselves is, God, if only you showed yourself, I'd be faithful. No, you won't, God says. Why don't you read Numbers while you're at it? But we'll see a story after story that's ugly, that's real, and is far too close to our lives. But we'll also see something else. This incredible faithfulness of God. If this is a marriage, if what happens on Sinai is a wedding, and what follows is a marriage, this is a marriage that's different than our marriages. In our marriages, you got two pretty messed up people trying to have a real relationship. No wonder things go wrong. No wonder it's hard. But in this marriage, one of them is perfect. One of them is perfectly loving, perfectly faithful, perfectly true to what he promised to do. And that's going to come through again and again. We will see the crazy things that Israel thinks they should do and get away with. And yet we'll see how God, amazingly, doesn't destroy them. Doesn't walk out on this marriage. Doesn't divorce the people, even though they want nothing to do with him. He continues to come to them, back to them. And yes, he punishes. And yes, some weird things happen. But he continues to return to them and call them to return to him. We will see not only the reality of tough relationships, that relationship with God, but we will also see God's continuing faithfulness in the midst of all of our rebellion. And that faithfulness will continue even to the point of sending his son, who again, because of the rebellion of his people, will be killed on a cross, rejected, and slaughtered. That's God's faithfulness. When we read stories like Numbers, even though I know you never read it, you're going to like it though, because we're skipping the first 8 chapters. You're going to hear your story with God. You're going to hear your rebellion. You're going to hear your life. You're also going to hear, though, the faithfulness of your God. There, even in the wilderness. Amen.